I'm William Cooper, and you're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got a lot of information for you tonight. I'm going to read some letters and cards, and then I've got a whole bunch of stuff to go through, and a meeting that's being held where in Philadelphia, I believe, and a whole bunch of other things. So make sure that you're paying attention tonight. Also, when I was ill, I got way behind in my work. And with this sale that we had, I've been on top of the regular mail, which normally takes me half a day. I have now been dealing with all of that. It is taking me all day. And so you're going to be hearing some reruns for a while I catch up with all of the things that I'm behind in. I don't want any phone calls. I don't want anything. I've got a lot of work to do, folks, and I've got to take a short trip and do some things. Annie will be here, but I've instructed her to just work on the orders and not answer the phone, but record the messages, and we'll handle those things when we get to them. We're so far behind, it's absolutely necessary that we do this, so please bear with us. We've chosen some extremely good episodes of the Hour of the Time from the past, and you'll be hearing those until we get caught up. And those will be handled by Mr. Gary Bourgeois up in Michigan. And I think you'll enjoy them. And if you're new listeners and you've never heard them before, I know that it will be an eye-opening experience. And for those of you who heard them long ago, might be a good idea for you just to listen to them one more time. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows that the fight was fixed. The poor single rich get rich. That's how it goes.
Yeah, everybody wants a long stem rose, don't they? The symbolism is everywhere. You listen carefully to the music that I play on this broadcast, folks. I hope you do, because it's all got a message, every bit of it, every night, all the time. Veritas is out. Veritas is out. It's in the mail to you now, ladies and gentlemen. Would have been out sooner, but we're perfectionists around here. We didn't like the way the paper worked when it came back from the printer, so we threw the whole run in the trash and did it again. That's the way we do things. If it's not right, it's not going out to you. And this is another fantastic edition of Veritas. Those of you who are subscribers, you know the quality of this newspaper. It's not a newsletter, folks. It is not a tabloid. It is a full-size newspaper. It is hand-delivered by special messenger to every representative and every senator in Congress, to every member of the president's cabinet, to every agency head, to the president and to the vice president, every single issue. It also goes to all the major media outlets in Washington, D.C., ABC, CBS, NBC, Communist News Network, the Washington Post, the Washington Times, all of them. And you notice that you never hear a word about this paper. This paper really shakes Washington up. It's really got them upset. They don't even like to admit that it exists, ladies and gentlemen. But it does. And it really has them going around in circles trying to figure out what to do about it. Well, there's nothing they can do about it. We've had some requests from senators to take us off their mailing list. And, of course, we're not going to do that. We have a right to speak and to deliver to them what we believe they should see. As public servants, they are required to keep up with their voters and the people who put them in office. And our newspaper is one way that we do that. The headline, this issue is cattle mutilation. It has returned, this time the state of Alabama. Surveillance cameras, big article on surveillance cameras. FBI report on future wiretap capacity needs. You're going to be amazed at what they want. And guess who has to pay for it? The phone companies, which means your phone rates are going up because the phone companies aren't going to pay for it. You are. Grants a background checks in order to keep you from being able to purchase a weapon. Above top secret, don't count on it. And this is all about how classified information is classified and what the different classifications really are. And all this baloney you hear from Bo Gritz and Bob Lazar and Stanton Friedman and all of these other Looney Tune people running around that there's 26 levels above top secret is absolute pure 100% bullshit. And this article is going to prove it because this comes from the actual implementation of the executive orders, which instruct the military and the government exactly how to classify information. U.S. drug chief heads United Nations police in Bosnia. Did you know that? That the White House drug chief was sent to Bosnia to create the United Nations police force in Bosnia. Did you know that Clinton lied to us when he said our troops were coming home after 1 year? It's a lie. It is a blatant, barefaced lie. The Indiana Accords commit us for 5 years, during which time they are setting up a United Nations protectorate, while NATO, which was formed under the auspices of the United Nations, acts as the UN peacekeeping force. Oh, yes, folks, 5 years. Get the Indiana Accords and read them, and you'll find out that, oh, Mr. I didn't inhale, really did. He inhales so much he can't tell the truth, ever. Letters to the editor, as always. Rules for changing a republic into a monarchy. This was printed in the National Gazette in the 1790s, and it's by Philip Freneau. Also, here's an article that we found that we have duplicated verbatim. We didn't change one word or anything from the Rosicrucian Digest, the official international Rosicrucian magazine of the Worldwide Rosicrucian Order from June 1941, Volume 19, Issue Number 5. You're going to be amazed what it says. And then there's Ann Husted's absolutely fantastic column on health and nutrition. And it's the continuing saga of Joe. And then there's an article we found written by C. William Smith in The New Age, September 1950. For those of you who don't know it, The New Age was the official organ of the Supreme Council, 33rd degree, Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, Southern Jurisdiction. And it tells you right in there what's coming, just like the Rosicrucian Digest from June 1941 tells you exactly their plan for the world and for this country. Right from their own mouth, the slimy scum didn't have the guts to tell the truth to the American people, and eventually they're going to suffer for it because when enough people wake up, there's going to be a line drawn in the sand. You can bet on that. And one more nail in Canada's coffin. For those of you subscribers in Canada, there's an article there about some of the goings-on in your country. The entire indictment verbatim that was handed down on McVeigh and Nichols accusations that they've been charged with in the Oklahoma bombing. We printed the entire indictment verbatim. There's an article on the Rockwood incident where some strange things happened with helicopters and men dressed in ninja suits in the middle of the night. Also, our continuing sag on the intelligence community, the security controls and the dissemination of intelligence information from the Central Intelligence Agency. Nobody else can get this stuff, folks. We get it because we're good. That's just all there is to it. And the Sheeple cartoon. For the fans of the Sheeple cartoon, you're going to love it. And if you're not a fan, you're still going to love it. Symbology column. The United Nations, a work in progress, outlines the symbology and the secret meaning of the seal or the symbol of the United Nations, written by Philip C. Walsh, a Kaji News Service exclusive. Compromised, a book review and a book named Compromised, which, by the way, you've just got to read, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article taken from the New York Times, October 6th, 1940. The New York Times, October 6th, 1940. Arthur Greenwood, an official of the British War Cabinet, sends a message of assurance here. New World Order pledged to Jews. Now there's, let me see, a humor column titled The Solution. When we reprint these articles that we find from history, ladies and gentlemen, we reprint them verbatim, and they will amaze you. Another article on the intelligence community, Intelligence and Security Command Training and Doctrine Support Detachment, called ITRADS at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, which was the United States Army school and training facility for Army intelligence. Let me see. Oh, an article by Helen Johnson on Bruns Waco. If you haven't heard about that, it will send a chill up your spine. Good opinion column by John Williams, Kaji News Service. And, here's a little article from Kaji News Service on the lawyer, Alan Dershowitz, what he has proposed. And that also will amaze you. What was the name of that book he wrote? Chutzpah? Well, apparently he's got an awful lot of it, ladies and gentlemen. When you read that article, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So, watch your mailbox. You'll be getting your issue of Veritas very, very soon, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't subscribe, you had better subscribe, because it's the only newspaper in this country that tells the truth, bar none. It's the only one that reports objectively. It's the only one that reprints the words of those who are destroying this country in their own words. So you'll see exactly who it is, what they're doing, and why they're doing it. And we don't pull any punches. We tell it exactly like it is, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to order a subscription to Veritas, spelled V as in Victor, E-R-I-T-A-S, send $35. It's $35 for 24 issues. The issues come out when we print them, normally, and it's always been, so far, every month. If we ever get a big enough staff, we'll print them more often, but it's 24 issues for $35, and make your check payable to Image 1216. Your check or money order must be made payable to Image 1216. Send it to Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, Post Office Box 3390. That's P.O. Box 3390. St. John's, Arizona, 85936. That's P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. Now, Dr. Eugene Schroeder, the author of War and Emergency Powers and Constitution Fact or Fiction, is going to be giving a seminar in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area, and I recommend that you all go hear him. I know Gene Schroeder personally, and he has an awful lot of information that he needs to impart to you, and you need to hear it. But don't make the mistake of thinking that that's all there is to it. It's not. We're bound by many things, not just the emergency powers. We're bound by treaties. We're bound by all kinds of stuff. Most of it under the color of law, unconstitutional, unlawful. But nevertheless, we've allowed them to get away with it. And by golly, they're not going to back down without a big legal battle or some kind of a battle. And I hope that it can be solved legally. Sort of lost. Well, never mind. Eugene Schroeder, he will be speaking, let me see, at the Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science. That's the Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science, 4500 Woodland Avenue at 45th Street. That's the Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science, 4500 Woodland Avenue at 45th Street. Room 119, says here, use the security entrance, wherever that's at. Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science, 4500 Woodland Avenue at 45th Street, room 119. Use the security entrance, is what it says here. They want a $20 donation for the day, and it will start at 10 a.m. on March the 2nd, Saturday, March the 2nd. 10 a.m. and we'll go until 5 p.m. 10 to 5. By golly, Dr. Schroeder is starting to do what I do. I never, ever give a lecture or a workshop that doesn't go at least 6 hours. And now, evidently, he's doing it too. Well, that's the only way you can do it, folks. This is too complicated, and there's too much documentation to cover anything like what we talk about in an hour, I can guarantee it. So he'll be there Saturday, March 2nd, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science, 4500 Woodland Avenue at 45th Street, room 119. Use the security entrance. It's going to cost you a $20 donation for the day. He's going to talk about the War and Emergency Powers, Trading with the Enemy Act, executive orders, the Constitution, the economic collapse, and it is coming. Allodial title, licensing, auto, driver, gun. If you need information on this, call 610-896-8897. That's 610-896-8897 or 610-353-8006. That's 610-353-8006. So that's that. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? This is from the Orange County Register, Tuesday, February the 27th, 1996. The Orange County Register, Tuesday, February 27th, 1996. Under news, and I believe it's page 13. In the capital, briefly, is the little name of the... It's got a whole bunch of things from Washington here. It's called Capital Briefly. FEMA chief elevated to cabinet-level status. President Clinton, who has placed high priority on improving government disaster relief operations Monday, elevated Federal Emergency Management Agency Director James Lee Witt to cabinet rank. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. And here, from the Nation and World section of the Orange County Register, February 27th, 1996, guess what? Remember what I told you? They're going to tell you that the nation is flooded with counterfeit $100 bills. And this is what it says. Flood of fake $100 bills baffles U.S. Well, we checked, ladies and gentlemen, with the United States Treasury Department, and we checked with the banks. It's a lie. There is no flood of fake $100 bills in the United States. The level of numbers of counterfeit bills in this country stays approximately the same from year to year. And this year is no different from any other year or from any other decade, for that matter. It's a scam. They're going to switch money on us here pretty soon. It was supposed to have happened in January. And then because of the negative publicity connected with it from this broadcast and others, they changed it to February the 19th. And guess what? It didn't happen on February the 19th. So when is it going to happen? I don't know, but they're sure preparing you for it. Here's a good one. I love this. This is from NetSurfer Digest, Volume 2, Number 5. NetSurfer Digest, Volume 2, Number 5.
White House accidentally blocked by Surf Watch. In case you haven't heard, ladies and gentlemen, Surf Watch makes software that prevents access to objectionable sites on the Internet. It's used primarily by parents to shield their children from reality, leading the offspring to enter politics when they grow up. Good luck. In any event, one of the pages on Socks the Cat's virtual tour of the White House contains the word, quote, couples, end quote. And in the world of political correct language, couples is a no-no. Did you know that? Couples is a no-no. As in Billary, the first androgynous presidency. Bill and Hillary, Al and Tipper, couples, you know, couples. Well, this subversive phrase was deemed too shocking for underage eyes, leading to the blocking of the entire White House computer network site. Don't you just love it? They were off the Internet for a long time. Well, eventually saner heads prevailed, whatever that means. Once the White House webmaster complained, isn't that anything like Beastmaster? And is this funny, folks, or what? It backfired on him. In the greater scheme, despite the absurdity, kudos to SurfWatch, which is, in the greater scheme of things, part of the solution rather than the problem. Oh, I love it, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes their own baloney turns around and eats their sandwich. Okay, this is what you've all been wanting to know. We had people that covered the Cure Conference. There will be a big article about it in the next issue of Veritas. But right now, I'm just going to give you a little short outline of what happened. The Cure 96 convention began its formal program at 09:03 in the morning on the 19th of February, 1996, in the Ramada at Broadview, Wichita, Kansas. Evan Meekum, who is the ex-governor of Arizona, began the activities by introducing Mr. Walter Myers, who then was the master of ceremonies, and introduced the speakers for the morning program. Walter Myers spoke for about 25 minutes, then introduced Senator Charles Duke, who spoke for 25 minutes. Attendance at this point was approximately 150 on the floor. The next speaker was Henry Lamb, who spoke on environmental conservatism, global governance by the year 2000, the new Earth ethic, which will be in Clinton's platform for 96 to implement global governance. It indicates Bernie Strom may be the next Secretary General of the United Nations. And it says in the New Earth Ethic that we must forget the idea of ownership of property. Another prediction of mine that's coming true, ladies and gentlemen. By that time, the attendance on the floor was around 200. Dr. Gene Schroeder spoke next to the Assembly about the War and Emergency Powers Act. He asked for a resolution to draft legislation to repeal the statutory war and emergency powers, which he had prepared. This resolution was passed later in the program. I guess that means it's part of the platform, huh? Dr. Gary Van Horn was scheduled to MC the afternoon program, which is the speeches from the candidates. There was a recess until about 1:30 in the afternoon. At 1:30, the Collins supporters who had assembled, that's Charles Collins, his supporters who had assembled outside of the meeting room with their banners and signs came marching in the grand old American tradition of conventions. They completely circled the room and made quite a show for a few minutes. Mr. Van Horn then introduced Mr. Charles E. Collins, who spoke for about 25 minutes on his platform. At this point, there were approximately 400 people in the hall. In turn, the rest of the scheduled candidates had approximately 30 minutes to speak. In order, they were California Senator Don Rogers, Dr. John Yannianis, Joseph Gold, Chad Coppy Sr., and Diane Beal Templin. And at this time, Larry Pratt was scheduled to speak. However, because of the media attack upon him and the campaign being run by Mr. Patrick Buchanan, he canceled. I thought Larry had more guts than that. He should have shown up anyway. But he didn't. The meeting adjourned, and there was questions and answers at the end of the banquet. The keynote address was at 8 o'clock in the main meeting room. At approximately 7 o'clock, the question and answer session was conducted. At 8 o'clock, the delegates assembled in the main meeting room to hear the keynote address by Governor Evan Meekum. At 8:58 a.m. on Tuesday, the 20th of February, they reassembled in the main hall for instructions and announcements and the procedures that was to be followed in the nominating process. A motion was made and seconded that CURE not take any action that would call for 38 states to be involved. That could be construed as a call for a constitutional convention, and believe me, I would have called them on it, just like they did at that so-called common law grand jury the last time they were in Wichita. It was passed unanimous, and I congratulate them on making that motion and seconding it and making sure that it didn't happen. The nominating and seconding speeches and acceptance of nomination, Diane Beal Templin, Chad Coppy Sr., Joseph Gold, Dr. John Yannianis, Senator Don Rogers from California, and Charles Collins were all put up for nomination. At this time, people from the Collins delegation attempted to shut off any nominations from the floor. And I don't know why they think they had the right to do that. It had previously been stated several times that there would be nominations taken from the floor. This resulted in a verbal confrontation between some Collins delegates and the Master of Ceremonies, Walter Myers. Mr. Clay Douglas was one of the most vocal delegates from the Collins camp. The Master of Ceremonies ruled that he was not operating under Robert's Rules of Order, that he was operating from an agenda, and he would continue. So nominations from the floor then proceeded. Mr. Art Walker from Georgia nominated Evan Meekum. It was seconded by four people. Mr. Meekum spoke to some of his concerns about what is going on and some problems that he perceives with Mr. Collins' plan, in effect, not rescinding War Powers Act immediately in a sales tax, which is not according to the Constitution. And I'm telling you right now, a sales tax is unconstitutional, and all you Collins supporters better get that through your head. Not that it's going to make any difference. He hasn't got a prayer in hell of ever being elected to the presidency, not this year, not next year. Until this country straightened out, probably not ever. And might make you angry, but nevertheless, it's true. And if you don't believe me, stick around. You're going to find out. And a sales tax, which is not according to the Constitution, and he wants to give student loans out. That has nothing to do with the federal government, Mr. Collins. If you want to give student loans, give them where the student lives. Why do you want to send your money to Washington, D.C., and have it go through all the pockets of all those people there, and then get a little bit of trickle of it back to your children? I mean, that is the dumbest, stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Anything you send to Washington disappears, goes up in smoke. You think you're getting free loans? You think you're getting something for free? You're paying for it out the nose, just in case you don't understand that. Why you wouldn't understand it is beyond my understanding. I can tell you that right now. Like somebody told me once, well, if we didn't pay taxes, we wouldn't have interstate highways. Who do you think paid for your interstate highway? There's interstate highways going through every state. You paid for it with your tax dollars, and it wouldn't have cost half as much, or probably not one-tenth as much, if you'd have kept that money home in your state and built those highways yourselves. But you just don't understand that, do you? I'll be right back in just a moment with the rest of this. When you pass you ride upon the skylines of this once proud nation, this is the fear of a long train, growing hearts of population.
Gotta be the end of politics.